Well, I wasn't exactly sure what I was supposed to teach until yesterday morning, and the Lord got me up early. And I really enjoy it when He does that, because God is a great orchestrator. You know that? And saying that, you know, he orchestrates things for very detailed things. You know, like years of Jubilee. We know that there are set times God's going to have things done. We see it all down through history. Even this past week, we observed 9/11. Is that right? You listen to Joseph, teachers like Joseph Kahn, and he'll show you the hour and the days, and you know, there's God orchestrates things. That's right, and He uses the godly and the ungodly to make things come to pass. And that's truth. And you can be, and you can choose to be a part of that plan or not, because that's the true love of God. He gives you that choice, right? Yeah, that to me is the most precious love, is that He created us in His image to make that we can choose. Anything else would be a tyrant, right? If He's going to force you to do something, what is the love in that? That's the true love, that we can choose to love Him. All right, and then if you remember, Miss Tricia said something about the years of Jubilee when she ministered last Sunday. Y'all remember, you recall that? And anyway, and she referred to it, that what's coming up is going to be like years of Jubilee. I don't know if you can go back and pull it up. It's there. and saying that, what we've been learning in the book by Joseph Prince, chapter 3, refers to some things we're going to talk about today. And that's how God orchestrates things. Right? Okay? And Psalms 91, verse 3, chapter 3. That's your assignment for this week to read. To go back and read chapter 3. So I give you homework up front. How's that? All right, he's already started. All right, so I know I'm not going to be teaching out of the book today, so I'm going to leave that to Wanda. And God, I want to get back to God orchestrating things. You know, that's what He's done here today. Even in the big things, He'll orchestrate things down to even like your personal things, like today. I mean, I didn't know Wanda's going to be here today. You know, she asked me to teach today, and I had a little reservation to start with, and then I said, yeah, I would do it. And then what transpired the last couple of weeks, and then right here, walk in this morning, she's here. I mean, only God can do things like that. You understand that? So anyway, all right, so the title of this message or teaching today is going to be called Precious Seed. Okay? All right, the apostle came and preached the message of hope. Is that what Pastor Apostle Rob did two Sundays ago? He came and ministered a message of hope. The prophet came and preached a message on seed time and harvest. That's what Trisha's message was on. The precious seed that we have planted and the harvest time that is coming. Yeah. All right. The seeds we have sown, the precious seed. Remember, she handed the mic out to Caldwell. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Out to Caldwell, testifying to prayers prayed for a church and ministers to come and preach faith, hope, deliverance in the New River Valley, so people could come and be saved, healed, and delivered. And I thought she was going to preach for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the anointing come on her.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
And she started, yeah. And that's good.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what's so good about this church. When the anointing starts flowing, we recognize the Holy Spirit and we let that go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we depend on our leaders to say, okay, to have direction. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But Alka always referred to our monies as what?
Seed.
Precious seed. But it's more than that. It's more than just money. See, the Word of God says that in Luke 8:11 that the Word of God is the seed. That is the most precious seed. Right? Not taking anything away from what she said, you know, because our money is precious seed. The words that we sow is precious seed. Especially if it's the Word of God. It's precious seed. Okay? This precious seed is about to come forth. That's what Trish is saying. That's what the prophet's saying. Y'all didn't know, and I'm just telling you this, but before Reggie got up to minister, I was holding his hand. We was praying in circle prayer. And when we walked back and I was putting the mic on for him, I told Reggie, I said, there's something about it. I said, this is going to be prophetic. I said, I don't know how to say it other than what you're getting ready to teach is going to be prophetic. If that's the correct way you say it. And I said, you know what? There's a scripture that talks about unless it's revealed to the prophets first, you know. And then Tresha come in and said that. She was talking about Nebuchadnezzar, right? That's revealed it to the prophets, and yeah, and then it comes to pass. But I told Reggie that. And then that's one of the first things Tricia said. You had to listen to his sermon over and over because it had prophetic undertones to it. Mm-hmm. See, that's the Spirit of God. Eh? So I think there's something important in the messages that we've just heard. And that's why I'm teaching this today, because I know that's what God was showing me. Okay? All right? This precious seed is about to come forth. Years and years of precious seed we have planted in the ground. We have in our families, in our homes, in our church, in our life, in this community. I tell you, it's getting ready to come forth. Amen. Yeah? We recognize the seasons we're in, right? Alright? Alright, so the enemy is still trying to do things, to do the same thing he did in the Garden of Eden. Give up what you have and take the substitute. You can be like God. Ain't that what he said? The truth is, they were already like God. He's trying to get them to substitute out the real for the imitation. Right? He told Jesus the same thing, didn't he? He said, all this can be yours if you'll bow down and worship me. Ain't that what he told him? He's trying to get him to take a substitute. Jesus is the kingdom of God. That's the truth. He knew it. Adam and Eve were created in God's image. Jesus is the kingdom of God. Don't take the substitute. What's the first thing we're supposed to do as Christians? What are we supposed to seek first? The kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all the necessary things will be added to us, right? That's our responsibility. The enemy is trying to get us to look at everything going on around us. Alright? He's trying to convince us that the kingdom's not working. It's not coming to pass, especially not in your life. Not in your lifetime. He's trying to convince you that it's not going to take place in your lifetime. Now, that we're setting it up for other people. You know, it's not for you. Don't take the substitute. You have a plan. You have a purpose. Don't take the substitute. Don't let him talk you out of. Don't let him do it. All right? He's trying to take. Let's take the easy way. You know, you're getting it ready for somebody else. You know, it's for another. No, it's for us. Right? We're not going to take the substitute. He wants that precious seed. He does. He wants it. The seed sown in us, as we have learned from the book, it is written, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't care what's going on around me. I know what His Word says. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we get caught up in what's going on around us and looking at it, we might take the substitute. Don't take the substitute, right? All right, so let's look at Isaiah 36. That's your other reading assignment this week. A couple of chapters. Isaiah 36 and 37. And we're going to see how prayer fits into this. It's one of my favorites. And you know, there God orchestrating something again. My scripture reading for yesterday morning, that that's something I do. I read through the Bible every year. And my scripture reading was, guess what? Isaiah 36 and 37. I'm going. And then I started seeing, I was going, man, God, the very things God. And then I put a DVD in because I've been watching this series on Monumental. Have anybody ever seen the series on Monumental? I suggest you look at it. Absolutely, pull it up. It's talking about how the founding fathers, how they started this nation. I really encourage you to check it out. And you know what he was talking about? The good seed that starts this nation. Yeah, but I'm already probably halfway through it, and the DVD I stick in talks about the good seed after I've done it. I think God's trying to tell me something. All right. So anyway, let's start verse 1. And now I'm reading out New Living, so if it don't fit what you're doing, you might want to listen. So anyway, I'll do my best to read it right. All right. It says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib, however you say his name, of Assyria, came to attack the fortified cities of Judah and conquered them. He did it. He conquered them. He's king of Assyria, came and conquered Judah. That makes sense? Then the king of Assyria sent a personal representative with a huge army. He's a representative and he's got a huge army from Lachish to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. The Assyrians stopped beside the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool, and the road near the road leading to the field where cloth is bleached. These are the officials who went out to meet with them. And it names the officials that Hezekiah sent out to meet the Assyrian prince or king or whatever his name is. You know. All right. And this is what the king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Do you think that mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? So he's asking him to substitute, right? He said, do you think your mere words of what he knows that, because what if you'll read this chapter, what Hezekiah did in Judah, you know, he tore down all the Asherah poles and all the stuff that they were worshiping, and he was turning the people's hearts back to God. That's what he was doing. And you'll if you'll read this chapter, you'll see that. And he had started in Judah and Jerusalem, and he was telling, look, you got to come to the temple in Jerusalem, and you're going to worship. So we're going to worship God. Only God. All right? So he's tearing down all these poles, and he's straightening up things. And then he's voicing it. You know, we're going to serve God. And so this king of Assyria, he says, look, he's coming in there. He's telling all these people, look, you know, there ain't no other gods to stop me. And he's even going to tell them that, you think, and the Lord's even sent me to take care of business here, to tear you up. Now I'm putting it in my terms, but I'm telling you what, that's what he's trying to do, the king of Assyria. So he's telling Hezekiah's officials all this. And he said, you think the mere words that you've heard your so-called God say, that you're going to substitute for my military skill and power? And then you're badly mistaken. So anyway, so you see what's going on as far as what he's trying to do. He's going to come in there and he's going to take over Jerusalem, right? That's his intent. All right. So the enemy wants the precious seed. He wants you to take the substitute. Come on, it'll just be like it'll just be like the one that you have. You know, it's going to be, the grass is greener on the other side. All right, but let's read down here at verse. My eyes get to jumping, and I have to
slow down because I get excited. When God gives me something, I get real excited. And so anyway, you pull from the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God is precious. And yeah, and He'll teach you. When you read these things for yourself, He'll bring things to you. But the word like substitute, I know I'm putting a lot of emphasis on that because that's what the enemy has tried to do to us over the years. He's tried to get us to substitute things. Because sometimes when you've done all you know to do and you're standing, sometimes standing gets to be long sometimes, you know? And sometimes you go, well, maybe God's really, you know, because you'll hear a little something. And, well, you know, what, you're waiting on your healing. But, you know, maybe if you do these natural things and I'm not saying that it's wrong to do natural things. I didn't say that. But you got to do what God told you to do. If you don't take the time to pray and know exactly what God wants you to do, then you can get in trouble. Hey, let me tell you something. This week, God started showing me the things that happened to me 13 years ago. I've wondered. I said, you know, it's still hard for me to talk. It's still, but I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm able to see a little better. You know, I'm getting better. That's good.
Yes.
Let's see. You know, what done it? What done it, Lord? I mean, what did I do? And He showed me when I was a young man. I worked on a dairy farm. And at the end of the day, after we'd got done milking, we used to milk about 130 head of cattle. Had to get done milking, then I would close the dairy barn, the dairy part, where the cows come in. And you know, after everything's cleaned up, I take fly spray and walk through there and two cans of fly spray and spray and fog that place. And think nothing about it. And God just started talking to me. He said, Calvin, He said, there was stuff in that spray that stored in your body for years. He said, and then when I started doing natural things that we learned about that's supposed to help us, next thing I know, I'm trying to detox stuff. What did I do? I put that chemical right back in my body that was stored in my body. I woke it up. Next thing I know, I'm paralyzed. But I appreciate God showing me that. I did. So, anyway. So, I'm telling you, if you don't get the heart of God first, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble by running over here and running over there and running here and running there, trying this, trying that. Trying to fix it. That's us. You know. But I'm telling you, don't take the substitute. There's no substitute for the precious seed. Okay? That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. All right. All right. So when reports come, when things around you seem scream, which they do, don't compromise. Don't compromise what you do. All right, so let's look at Isaiah 37:14. So let's see. Wait just a second. Let's go to Isaiah 36. I wanted to read this part too, because I got off into my thing there. So. All right. So the Assyrian king, he's telling Hezekiah's people, you know, the administrators and things who are there listening to him, telling him, look, you need, if you think by words alone you're going to do it, you're not going to overcome me with words and with my military skill. That's what he's told him, right? All right, he said, all right, in verse 16, it says, don't listen to Hezekiah. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. Make peace with me. Open the gates and come out. Then I will allow each of you to continue eating from your own gardens and drinking from your own well. Then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one. A country with bountiful harvest of grain and wine, bread and vineyards, a land of plenty. What's he doing? He's asking them to come on out. I'm going to let you eat from your own gardens, your own vineyards, drink from your own wells, and then I'm going to take you to a land just like this one. He's trying to get you to substitute. All right? Of course, we know that don't go over too good. Of course, all right, his administrators go back. I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit. His administrators go back and they tell his guy, of course, they tear their clothes, you know, because that was their way of showing that, you know, there's there's remorse and there's things going on that... Anyway, they go to Hezekiah and Hezekiah tears his clothes, you know, in chapter 37. And then he gets before God, right? All right, so it says Hezekiah seeks the Lord, starting in chapter 37. It says, when King Hezekiah heard their report... Now there, once again, there comes a report. We get reports every day, don't we? We all individually get reports every day, don't we? Yes, I get reports every day. All right, so when King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord to pray. And, of course, the administrators there and his secretary and the leading priest, they all dress in sackcloth and they go to work to the prophet Isaiah. All right, so what happened? The apostle came, and the prophet came. Okay. You see, all right, so the apostle's come, and the prophet has come. And it's telling us that seed time is here. Harvest is here. The harvest of our seed time is here. I'll get it right. The harvest of our seed time is here. Okay? So what did Hezekiah do? He sent for the prophet. Right? All right, and they told him, they told the prophet, this is what King Hezekiah says. This is a day of trouble, insult, and disgrace. It's like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver it. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian representative defying the living God and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left. Okay, so Judah's done been conquered, right? The Assyrian king done conquered Judah. Now he's there at Jerusalem's gates. And he said, come on out. I'm just open the gates. Your words ain't going to prevail over my skill. Look, I've done it. I'm the man. and look, I'm going to just trade this off here. Trade off what you got. Because I'm going to take you to another place that's better. Right? So Hezekiah has sense enough to do what? Pray. We're in prayer class, ain't that right? Mm-hmm. We know, Wanda said it over and over, what this prayer class means. This church is based on prayer. You heard Alta Caldwell the other day? She prayed for a church that would come. The ministers to come. A place to come. This is precious seed. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. This is precious seed. This is a harvest here. This is the harvest of that precious seed. Now, everybody has an opportunity of how they value that and what they put in that, right? But it's still precious seed. All right, so let me see here. So how can you hear with that? Okay, so... The apostle came and the prophet came, and I wrote this down because this is what the Spirit of God gave me. He says, how can you hear without a preacher? Listen to the apostle and prophet, the message of hope and deliverance. So Isaiah 37:21, let's look over here, verse 21. It says, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah had went up. He got another report from the Assyrian king. You know, because what God had done, he was orchestrating for the king to return to his own land, right? The Assyrian king. If you'll read that, he fixed it up so the Assyrian king had to leave. You know, and when and
the first report that Isaiah gave to him, he said, this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to fix it so the Assyrian king's going to have to go home. And he's going to have a battle there he's going to fight. He's going to die there. So he's already knows that. So then the Assyrian king gets the news that, oh man, there's turmoil going on at home. I'm going to have to leave. But don't think you're out of the hot water, because I'll be back. So anyway, so what does Hezekiah do? He takes it up and lays it out before the Lord in the temple, right? He spreads it all out. The report that he got that time, he spreads it out in the temple. And he tells them. And he's laying it before the Lord. And God hears it, what he's praying, and he reveals it back to Isaiah. And Isaiah comes and tells him, this is a report on that second report that Hezekiah got. Am I confusing you? Okay. Tracy said, yes! Alright, so then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is the answer to your prayer concerning King Sennacherib, or however you say his name, of Syria. This is the message that the Lord has spoken against him. And then he goes on and tells him the whole message of what's going to take place and what's going to happen to him. Alright? It says, and down in verse 30, it says, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, this is the proof that the Lord will protect this city from a serious king. And then he tells him what's going to happen, how they're going to eat, how they're going to provide for themselves and all that. And he lets him know everything that'll happen. And it says, and we had just studied in this book about being on offense. And this is that same story about that night. It says down in verse 36. It says, that night the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrians. Just a angel, not angels. A angel went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians. Okay? When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. That's what, I guess so, 185,000. What's the population of Christiansburg? I don't know.
12,000.
12,000?
No, it's more than that.
15?
20.
Oh, really?
I remember Pastor Robin Trisha said when they came here it was like around 12.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, I heard while they were here somewhere come out, I remember Trisha saying that, and that the population is, I would say, 20. Somebody Google.
That's what I'm saying. 185,000, 20,000, that'd be like all of Christiansburg gone. Probably Radford. I don't know what the population of Roanoke is. That would be like this whole end of the state gone. You got to put it in perspective. This is an angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000. So I guess the words that were spoken were more powerful than the might and force of the military. So is your seed precious? The words you say precious, especially if they're the word of God. So what?
22,000 in Christiansburg.
22,000. So what's the population of Roanoke?
Probably down to
100,000. It still ain't got there. So it still get Roanoke.
I wonder about the new, what would be the population.
New River Valley.
Of course, now Tech, between 30 and 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's just Tech.
Yeah. Man, that's a
so,
lot.
30, 40, 50. Maybe more New River Valley.
Yeah.
That's a big army.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know, see, we read these things, but we don't put them in perspective. Is that?
Blacksburg is 44,000. Now, this is 2017. So 40, 50, 60, 65,000, 20. That's still not 185,000. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. Ain't it? So we all have precious seed in the ground. Ain't that right? And I receive what the prophet said. It's time for harvest. Right? Now, something
a word of advice that I know that I've learned over the years is when you start seeing blessings come, you don't worship the blessing. It's easy to. It's very easy to, because when you start being blessed, next thing you know, you start taking your mind off God. And you don't mean to, but because I mean, if my heart's desire to have a boat, I've never had that, but I mean, if I had a heart's desire to have one, I've always wanted to go play golf. I've tried to play a couple of times, and believe me, you wouldn't want me out there. I'd have to have a lot of teaching. But I would like to do that. You know, that's a heart's desire. You know. But let's say that. But if I started staying out of church to go play golf, and I said, well, God blessed me with that. Sure he did. But you see, if I start worshiping that and making that an idol, or letting that take the place, then that's wrong.
It becomes a substitute.
So what we do is, we as God's people recognize his hand in everything that we do. You see, we have been learning from the book, right? From this book, that God orchestrates things. You are not happen chance to be in that place. If you're trusting him, if you're walking in Psalms 91, you're at the right place at the right time every time. Right? The angels, because you've made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation, there no evil's going to befall you. Right? Or plague come near your dwelling. Is that right? Is that becoming a part of you or not?
That's right. Yes.
The devil roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Keith Moore says, I'm a may not. He may or he may not. What are you? I'm a may not. You may not devour me. You may not. And you've got to voice it out. Now, we seen some of that last Sunday during prayer. Yeah, I tell you, God was moving in that. I'm telling you. You know, I was just, you know, I was kind of quiet, but I was listening. Because God was moving in that. You know, it ain't always about you.
That's right. You know? Can I say something about that prayer time?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you said God was moving in that. I was talking to Debbie and George, you know, they were here. Debbie said they really tried to come to prayer, but they just couldn't get here at 9:30. I said prayer was just powerful. I said it's one of those things that if you could can it, you know, then you could pour it out this Sunday. But I said I've learned, you know, Ben Hammond has taught on that you can't try to replicate today what happened last Sunday.
That's right.
And you know what? We saw that as powerful, and it was, but it's just as powerful when it's quiet too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what we have to remind ourselves of. You know, we're not looking for the spectacular. We're looking for the supernatural.
That's right.
And, you know, that kind of thing. And so, thank you for letting me share that since you brought that up. But, you know, I wish we could do it again today. Mm-hmm. And we may. But it'll be by the Spirit of God.
It'll be by the Spirit of God. I'm ready. I mean, unless he revealed it first through the prophets, and he did. The sage is set. We all have precious seed in the ground. It's time we learn how to be good harvesters. Yeah. I mean, there's people out there that need saved. Big time saved. I mean, you know, I see it every day at work. Every day. Every day. It's really interesting. But there once again, I want to say this. What I've been learning is we got to quit pointing the finger. I think Pastor Roger said, I got one at you and I got three back at me. Mm-hmm. We got to quit pointing the finger. It's time we start self-governing ourselves.
Yes.
See, we are a new creation in Christ. You need to have the mindset of that. I've got to renew my mind and see myself the way God sees me. Which you've heard that precious seed preached many times. But you've got to respect yourself enough that you live a certain way. I don't care how bad it is out there. And I don't care what people are saying. You might as well face it. You're going to get persecuted. If you want the good things of God, you're going to get persecuted. Yeah. And quit saying, you know, I don't know how. It don't matter what they're doing. It matters what you're doing. Get your eye off them and get it on you. Say, Lord, what is my part in that situation? What am I to say? What am I to do? Yeah. Yeah. We need to be in everything. I mean in everything. See, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Right? We are the what preserves this world from dying. So, if you want to withdraw and become some kind of recluse somewhere, that ain't going to do it. I'm telling you, we're going to have to get involved. We need people on the rescue squads, firefighters. We need people in police. We need people making laws. We need Christian people who have a heart for God, who said, you know, I ain't perfect, but I can pray and I can hear from God and I know how to read His Word and get instruction. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And we can fix hair and we can be a secretary and we can build trucks and we can be Christians doing it.
Yeah.
But we got to quit pointing the fingers at they're the problem. No, I'm the problem. And I'm the one who's not mature enough to get before God and get my life right and keep my life right in front of people. Yep. Yeah, so I'll quit with that. But anyway, so God's the great orchestrator. He's going to get it done. And, you know, I know we talk about God being in control. You know, God has an overall plan, and it will be done. Now, if you want to be a part of it, that's your choice. That's His great love. If you don't, it's still going to get done. Right? I don't want to miss my part. And there's a reward coming. Yeah? And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I can't hardly ever get by without thinking about the 10 virgins. The ones who had the lamps. Five were wise and five were foolish. So that tells me half the people. Mm-hmm. Half the people were foolish. They all went. They all were looking for the bridegroom. But half of them wasn't ready. Well, that's serious. That's serious stuff right there, buddy. All right. Hope y'all had a good time. I did. Yes, sir.
You might be interested to know that my Old Testament reading this morning was Isaiah 36 and 37.
They're on the same plan.
Well, no, God's on the same plan.
It may be. I read through it every year, too, and I kind of follow a plan. So they may be on the same one, but it's really interesting that you would bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
But let me share what I got. Just what I got. You know, this representative of the Assyrian army promised these people if they'd go his way and not fight him and do what he wanted to do, that they would have all these things. In other words, but the fact is, they were still going to be captives.
That's right.
They were still going to be captives.
Oh, that's good. And that's what the devil does, ain't it?
Yeah.
They traded off.
Yeah.
They got all the things, but they're still captives. That's good, Gene.
Jerusalem belonged to the Jews. That was their heritage.
That's right.
I mean, that land was given to Abraham and his seed.
That's right.
And for them to give that up means to throw away their heritage and to deny God what He told them in the beginning.
That's right.
And to walk away from that, like you said, well, let's substitute this empty promise for this eternal promise. And you know, what kind of rolled over inside of me when you started talking about the battle is that there's the war of words that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
This one says this, what's your response? You know, it's like David and Goliath. You know, you've got this big warrior. He's shouting down, talking loud and proud. And then you've got the one who has a promise.
Right.
From God. And who has cultivated his relationship with God.
That's right.
And has that time. He knows his God. And so it became a war of words, but we know how the story ended.
That's right.
And the fact is, you stick with what you know. You stick with the word. You stick with what you know. And, I mean, that's part of our walk as Christians, is proving out the word of God in our lives.
That's right.
Is that God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we know, and all of this, what you've read this morning and what you've taught us, is that these are all examples, because this is about kingdoms and people and all these personalities involved, but then that's our life.
That is.
That's our life.
It is.
Because we have an enemy who comes and shouts and talks big, but then do we go to the Lord? Do we turn, you know, to Him and lay out the thing before God? You know, this is what the enemy is saying.
Yeah.
This is the prognosis. You know, this is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord, what's your word for me?
Right.
What's that now word for me? And how do I deal with this? And see, the thing is, if we go back to this, then that's the way we should order our life.
Absolutely.
The same way.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the end result. We've got the answer. We know that the end result will turn to our good.
Mm-hmm.
All things work to the good of those who love God.
That's exactly right.
According to His purpose.
Amen.
That's so good. That's so right. And keep in mind that we are people of faith. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. And no matter how bad it looks, no matter what He's trying to get you to substitute, look, this is better over here. But it's a captive. It'll get you in a trap. All right, folks. Thank y'all.